Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. Hello, this is Todd Perry, and welcome to PPM Simplifies. So glad you tuned in to listen to us, and we have got a really good podcast put together for you today. We have a very special guest, one of our illustrious PPM professionals, Mr. Trey Hess, out of our Jackson, Mississippi office. Trey, how are you today, my friend?
I'm good. It's Friday. It's a beautiful day outside, but we can take a moment here to talk a little bit about regulators and then go enjoy the rest of the day. How about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so let me finish up Trey's background. Trey was a regulator at the Mississippi Department of Environmental Quality, well-distinguished, had a fantastic career. And then once he completed that career and retired, he chose to come over to PPM, become a consultant, and is just doing an amazing job there. We'll talk about that in the wrap up. But Trey has a really unique perspective on these things. On top of that, he claims Mississippi State for his home university. He graduated from there as an engineer. And as a PE, Trey, although I didn't go to Mississippi State, can I still say Hail State to you and get away with it?
You can say that all day long, Todd. You can say it all day, every day.
There we go. Good man. Good man. So, hey, the first thing I want to do, just for our listening audience, by nature, and it's not, I don't know, maybe you can kind of tell me if it's way, but sometimes I think people get lost the fact that because you're ready, I mean, a little bit of friction, a little bit of an adversarial relationship. That's not the case, is it?
You know, I think the big thing, maybe there's a misconception that regulators are wannabe cops and that kind of stuff. Look, they're just people like you and me. And I think a lot of the challenge that people have is the concern that you're going in and there's going to be a gotcha associated with it. Most of the time, these are just good old fashioned folks who are trying to make a living, got families, got friends. So I think it ought to always be thought of as let's try to start with an authentic, good relationship. And typically, you'll find that's a great place to start from.
Man, well said. Well said. Trust and collaboration will take you a long way in life. Okay. So with your perspective and thinking about a regulator's perspective, so we're going to just kind of draw on your experience and then just a general insight into, you know, being a regulator, what's one thing, you know, from a regulator's perspective about the environment we need to kind of be mindful of? Give us a little insight there.
Sure. So when you walk into a conversation or into a meeting or whatever with a regulator, I think the thing you got to first remember is that they have a duty to protect human health and the environment. And so that perspective is going to be first and foremost. Now, you and I on this side of the table are going to be representing our clients, and we also, as an engineer and as a geologist, we have a responsibility to the public health and safety. And so, you got to remember that that's their first concern. And I think more than anything else, if you start from that same common ground, you're going to find that you're going to connect on a lot of different ways to get to solving these issues and these problems. You got to also remember that a lot of these folks are scientists, and so they're problem solvers. And so to get together and look at the situation in front of you, whether it's a permitting issue, a compliance issue, a cleanup issue, it's really just a question of how do we solve this problem, and can we solve it together to get to the end product, which is going to be protected of human health and the environment in a cost-effective way that both we can be proud of as consultants, our clients can be satisfied and proud of, and then also the regulator can be proud of. Because at the end of the day, they're going to go home. They're going to have the same kids that they're going to talk about, and they're going to want to brag on what they've done to make this a better place.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And thinking about an environmental agency, Trey, there are a lot of different responsibilities, a lot of different divisions. Is there any insight into the different programs and different type of people, different scientists, different degrees, pedigrees? Does that dictate a different level of conduct inside the agency?
if you think of the typical way you break down an environmental project, there's going to be a permitting aspect of it. Obviously, if we're going to go in and work with a client or with an industry on expanding an operation to be able to be permitted to have emissions, to have discharges and all that, there's going to be a mindset in the permitting group to ensure that that's done in a way such that you can continue to conduct business. So there's going to be a business aspect to that. And I assure you that the executive directors, the leadership, as well as any outside influences are going to be very cognizant of that kind of mentality. Because look, at the end of the day, without commerce, none of us have jobs. And with that, there's not going to be a permit to do much of anything. So the permitting aspect is going to have a lot of folks in there that are going to be thinking of ways to get this done within the boundaries of a permit. The compliance side, you know, on the compliance side, if it's a well-done permit, and that's why I always encourage folks to be sure to get a good permit, to hire a consulting firm, i.e. PPM, to do a good job of putting that permit together, because a compliance person can only administer the compliance side of things with a well thought out, well crafted permit. And so if it's a poorly done current permit, the compliance side is going to be a little more cumbersome and a little more challenging for industry, for the consultant, as well as DEQ. And then from a cleanup standpoint, a lot of times people, when they look at the cleanups folks, they're going to be looking at how to do this as quickly as possible, because as you know, Todd, cleaning up sites, I've often described it sometimes as trying to get soap out of a sponge. You know, eventually you've got to get the mass out, but there may very well be a point where you've got to pause.
No doubt about it. As I'm thinking about that, trying to distill a little bit from you, you know, consultants or advocates for, you know, private industry and their clients and their interest, to the regulators, they're charged, but a basic mission, be protective of human health and the environment. And so, as you get those two things, you know, we all come from a little bit different spot, but we all have challenges. You know, as we sit here in 2020, we have had a lot of challenges hopefully the backside of COVID. There's certainly inflationary pressures as we visit today on this podcast. Folks, and on the regulator side, what do you think the biggest challenges a regulator faces these days?
You know, what's interesting is I helped work to put together the annual report and the strategic plan for Mississippi DEQ. And the number one challenge for regulators is their bench. So we're in March Madness right now, right, Todd? You can have the best starting five on the planet, but if you don't have a deep bench, this is going to wear them out. So the biggest challenge that regulators have now is institutional knowledge is leaving the building. And then also those starting five, you know what? They put in their years and it's time for them to look either riding the horse on out or deciding to pass it down. The challenge is right now for regulators is learning, is institutional knowledge, and then also having the opportunity to learn things because of the changing landscape and technology and all that. You know, at Mississippi DEQ, and I could speak to some of the other states because we would always get together and talk about these challenges. Getting people hired is a big challenge. I spent the last 3 years of my career at DEQ. I felt like I was looking at resumes. And the biggest challenge that we had as regulators was finding capable folks that were not just straight out of school. And so what you'll sometimes find is the people you're working with come from a theoretical college-based background. And real world is something that they are, for me, a lot of them are yearning for you to help them with that, even if you're industry or if you're in the consulting world. And I like to take time to do lunch and learns, to do opportunities to get together and show what's going on out on this side so they can see the big picture. But again, the biggest challenge is just going to be the bench. It hurts industry. It hurts regulators. It hurts PPM and some of us that are trying to help make these environmental problems go away, just because there's such a thin bench there. And I I don't have a good answer for that. I think it's just a big challenge that I hope we all recognize so that we don't have expectations going into some of these projects that are unrealistic expectations.
Well, that's really good insight. And no doubt that's a challenge really across the board, whether you're in industry, a consultant, or a regulator. But I tell you, something good that you shared is the fact that, you know, like industry, there are conferences and ability, you know, the way to get together and sharpen the axe. Consultants attend those trade shows and conferences to do the same thing. It's good to know there's also regulatory conferences and associations that help, you know, keep the same challenges and problems face each state, each regulatory body, and it's good that they can do that. But the basic challenge of a graying professional association, and I use that word saying business, regulatory agency, you know, you fill in the blank, that is a challenge wherever you sit. So you've got some insight, and these states are addressing that, but it's a really difficult challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a difficult challenge across the board. I mean, we're seeing that just in the basic workforce today. I mean, you know, for us to be able to go out to a site to drill on it, sometimes drillers are having a heck of a time finding folks to work for them. And it's a generational issue that we've all gotta work on and all gotta work together on. And that's where I think the collaboration between industry, between our clients, between our own staff here at PPM, as well as the regulators and even management within regulators, we all understand the challenges. And while they may be a little bit different in the different sectors, we've all got those struggles, and we're going to continue to have those struggles moving into the second quarter, by the way, Todd. We're fixing to move into the second quarter of this century. So it's amazing that we've got almost since the regulations came out in 1993 on a large majority of these sites, that we're looking at 50 years of environmental regulatory relationships that we've had with folks, and just the challenges that we're running up against with landfills that have had a 30-year, I know I'm digressing a little bit, but just these generational challenges that we all have is something that regulators are struggling with, industry struggling with, and even policymakers are struggling with.
No doubt about it. And you just gave me an idea for another great podcast, because when you think about the history of regulations and industry and how they've adopted and certainly complied, it's amazing the progress we've made. So there's a whole other podcast. So thanks for the good idea there. All right. So we talked about challenge for the regulatory agency. Let's do a little hack. I'm gonna kind of reverse a question to you. I'm gonna try to reverse engineer it, and I hope I succeed here. What's the biggest mistake a consultant or industry can make in going in to deal with a regulatory agency, with a regulator on a permit or an issue? What's an area that they can try to go to first and kind of bring in something that I think, you know, there's a time and a place for everything, but initially it's always a bad form, in my opinion.
Well, as you know, Todd, the number one thing, first impressions make lasting impressions, right? So that first impression is really important. And while I may know the lieutenant governor for the state of Mississippi, you know, we've got Delbert Hoseman is a friend of mine. I worked with him when he was at the Secretary of State's office and all that. The last thing I need to do is to roll up into DEQ, throwing out names or bringing with me a state legislator, or even alluding to congressmen or senators, those kinds of things. Because here's the thing. People are in there doing their jobs, and they're wanting to do the right thing. And what I find interesting is when I was a regulator, and when somebody pulled out, we'll call that the Trump card, I now had to make sure that I was dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's, and essentially making sure that I followed the procedure, when we all know that there are times when there's some flexibility, there's some judgment, and there's some ability by the regulator and the staff level person to make things happen, still complying with the regulations, still protecting human health and the environment. But now I've got to actually document everything. And so what you'll end up doing is that influence that you're looking to bring in there has basically slowed down this process, because It's just like the hall monitor. You bring the hall monitor in and they go tell the principal, now everybody's in trouble. So it's just a matter of building a relationship. First impressions are lasting impressions. And there may be a time and a place for that, because not every regulator is collaborative in nature, just like not every consultant, just like not every industry person, or for that matter, any politician is going to be someone that's a collaborator. So there will be a time and a place when, you know what, maybe we do need to think about that. But that should be something that's very deliberate, very thoughtful, and recognize the consequences of pulling out that card, because once it's out, it's not bringing it back and putting it back in your pocket too easily.
Man, that is excellent insight. And as we wrap things up, this has been so much fun. I know our audience has enjoyed this. My last question for you, is there a way that you can broach difficult topics with regulators without, you know, concern of coming off, you know, prematurely, half-cocked, half-baked, you know, just you got a challenge and you think it could be a worst case scenario, but you don't want to necessarily go, you know, with, I think the sky's falling. Is there any way to work with a regulator in that scenario?
So most of the regulators that I still deal with, and those, and even when I was in that chair, you know, I would have someone call in, and Todd, you could tell that they're trying to ask a question, but they're worried about confidentiality. They're worried about saying too much. They're worried about protecting the client's interests and all of those things. And I would basically at that point say, stop. Let's just hypothetically say that we're dealing with a hypothetical site in Alabama. Of course, I was from Mississippi at the time. And let me just tell you how I would answer these questions. And that immediately, number one, gave that consultant or gave that industry person an opportunity to say, okay, here's what hypothetically, and I'm doing that with the air quotes we can't see on the podcast, but hypothetically, I'm dealing with we had someone accidentally knock a valve open, and we've got stuff running out into the ditches. Hypothetically, how would the regulator address that? And you'll find that everybody wants to get to yes, and everybody wants to get to the point where we actually solve the problem. And so that's an easy way to do it, and it also is a way to say, look, I care about your thoughts as a regulator, because you know what, you're the guy that ultimately makes that decision. And number two, you can appreciate what I've got to do, because I want to get the right answers and I don't want to dilly-dally around with it.
Man, well said, Trey. This has been an absolute blast. We've really enjoyed it. I know our audience has enjoyed it. I really appreciate your time, my friend. And if you'd like to discuss this topic more or any other topics in the world of environmental compliance and consulting, brownfields, you name it, we'd love to visit with you. You can reach out to Trey or myself via our website, ppmco.com. There's a contact us area, and you can jot down your question and hit send, and we will get back to you. Would love to get back to you, so don't hesitate to reach out to us. Trey, thank you again. Thanks for the insight. Thanks for your time. This has been a great podcast. Any last words of wisdom for our listening audience?
Well, you know, you said, hey, reach out to us. We can talk, quote, hypothetically all day long if y'all like. So if I encourage you to pick up the phone and we can talk about what challenges you might or might not have, hypothetically or otherwise, and we'll help you solve that problem.
That's a good man. Great close. And I couldn't do any better myself, so let's just get to it. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for listening to PPM Simplifies. Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.